Well, we're talking about kindness. How many of you know that kindness matters? Well, for the rest of you, kindness matters. How many of you prefer kindness to unkindness? All right, and so my title is actually Kindness Counts. And today, if I had a subtitle, it would be this: Everybody Ends Up Better. How many of you would like that? That something happens that everybody ends up better. And I think we need that today. We're living in a harsh, cruel, bitter world that's fueled by harsh, cruel, bitter words. And those words fuel that kind of atmosphere. And we have that pre and post election, and we have it just with social media and life and misunderstanding and just all of those things. And we've got to realize words really matter. Kind words really, really matter. But we understand that kindness, 1 John 3, I think verse 17 says that let us love not just in theory or thought, not just in word, but in action and in deed. But we have to realize the power of words. Words really matter. I've said this to you. I didn't tell the other services this, but y'all are my people. So, any insecurities that you have in your life today, first of all, let's do this. How many of you have a few insecurities? Okay, some of you. A lot of them have their root, most of them, if not all, have their root in something that was said to you on your way up, on your way growing up. How many of you have any areas that you're pretty confident in? Okay? And it's okay. And a lot of that, if not all of that, is related and rooted somehow to words that were said to you as you were coming up. Our words really, really matter. And everything is on, and this is another subject for another day, everything is on the word system. Words really matter. God spoke and it was created. Worlds were framed by God's word. Attitude is a frame of mind. And your attitude, really, you can frame your mind with your words. And so you need to be careful with your words. I'm letting it soak in just a little bit here. I start every day. Today is going to be a great day. Today's going to, and I can't find my shoe and my glasses broke. Today is going to be a great day. And I knew where my shoe and my glasses, I made that part up. But, you know, just you need to start your day. Get yourself rolling that way. But when we're in a world that is fueled by words in such a caustic way, we have to be very, very careful, because words and actions usually are not far apart. And what we really need, what is missing in our lives and our culture today, is kindness. And kindness makes a difference. And kindness truly, truly does count. Can I get an amen from somebody? And let me warn you, if you don't stay with me today and give me good energy, I'll have them turn the hallelujah lights back on. We'll get your attention one way or the other, all right? Kindness brightens. When we see kindness, when we experience kindness, we're involved in kindness, it brightens, it relieves, and it produces two things especially. It produces gratitude and humility. Gratitude and humility. And gratitude and humility, if I can say this, are the purifiers. They're the decontaminants of a person and even of a culture. When you have present within you gratitude, and how many know gratitude is the secret sauce? Okay? When you've got gratitude in your soul and you have humility, can I tell you what humility is? It's not bad posture. Humility is acknowledging your source. That you don't take credit for what you did not do. It's to acknowledge your source. And if you humble yourself, God gives you more and more grace. And so when you have gratitude and humility in your life, let me put it to you this way. You're healthy. You're healthy. When you have gratitude and humility in a culture, that culture is healthy. When you take out gratitude, think about our culture. Take out gratitude. Take out humility. In a person, you're not well. You take out gratitude and take out humility, and in a culture, that culture becomes sick. And so it is so important, what can we do to get gratitude and humility? We've got to inject kindness. And like a chemical reaction virtually, kindness produces that gratitude and humility. When somebody is kind to you, it's going to happen automatically in you. And when you do that with others, it's going to happen. And we need to have that happen in our lives, our relationships, and certainly in our world today. Now, where gratitude and humility are missing, as I said, it's unwell, it's unsafe. And here's what happens. We become anxious, angry, entitled, selfish, defensive, offensive. And all of those things, don't miss this, are rooted in fear. Fear is always the enemy. How many of you know that anger is a secondary emotion? And usually the first emotion is some kind of fear. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to lose something. Something's going to happen. Something won't happen for me. And so we have fear, and that puts us in a place where anger is quick. But most of these things, even your anxiety and so forth, they're secondary. The root of it all is fear. Fear is always the enemy. Fear is always the problem. But here's the good news, okay? And this will be on the screen for you. Kindness is rooted in love. Say that with me. Kindness is rooted in love. Now remember, all this other stuff is rooted in fear. Kindness is rooted in and love. Here we go. Love casts out fear. Love casts out fear. Let me read it for you. 1 John chapter 4. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Amen? Amen. We will turn on the hallelujah lights. Okay. This word fear in the New Testament Greek means that which causes flight, which means it scares you. You don't want to be, you recoil from it. You want to get away from it. So this fear, but there's no fear in love. Perfect love, complete love, drives out fear. That in the New Testament Greek means to cast out, to drive out and away with force. So it doesn't just say, hey, get out of here. You know, if you had a raccoon getting into your trash or neighbor dog getting into your trash, you wouldn't go out there, hey, cut that out. You know, you'd get the hose, a machete, something else, and go chase them. You know? No violence intended. But with force. With energy. And listen, all those other things are rooted in fear, but kindness is rooted in love, and love drives out with force that fear. Kindness brings health, kindness brings healing, kindness brings safety, and kindness, remember this for later, is contagious. It's contagious, remember that. Now, God is love, love is kind, God is our Father. We are his children, and as his children, like him, we are to be loving and kind. Now, I have this on the screen for you. All the attributes of God are expressed toward us through kindness. I know it's a long sentence, but why don't you read it with me? All the attributes of God are expressed toward us through kindness. So think about all the attributes of God. His love, his mercy, his grace, his patience, his loving kindness, his tender mercy, salvation. Here's probably one of the sweetest expressions of love, forgiveness. And God brings all of that. All the attributes of God are expressed toward us through kindness. Let me give you some scripture for that. Titus chapter 3. We lived in malice, that means ill will, and envy, being hated and hating one another. What's all that rooted in? Fear. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. That's everything that he is expressed toward us through his kindness. Ephesians 2, 7 and 8. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is what? Gift of God. That's kindness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. What's all that? That's all rooted in fear. Instead, what? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Come on, let's say amen to that. That's good stuff. God has been so good to us. Thank you, both of you. God has been so good to us. He's so good to us. And it shows up in his kindness toward us. That's when it showed up. It's manifest through Jesus, through his help in so many different ways. He's been so good to us, so kind to us. And it's pretty easy here, y'all. We should be kind. We are to be kind as well. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36 in the Message paraphrase. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us. Generously and graciously. Help me with this. Even what? One more time, admit it. Even when we're at our worst. And here it is. Our Father is kind. You be kind. Our Father is kind. You be kind. So God commands us to be kind. He expects us to be kind, to pass it on and to be kind for this reason. Because of what it causes. Because of what happens when we're kind. God pours out that kindness into our lives. We're to pour out that kindness into other people's lives. He commands us to do it, but it's not this dry, boring works kind of command. It's because of what this will cause in others. And again, my subtitle today would be this: everybody ends up better. When we're kind, when you're kind, everybody ends up better. How many of you know that when we're cantankerous and difficult and moody and everything else, how many of you know that does not work well? Come on, that does not work well. Okay? But everybody does better. And it may not be immediate for everything, but I'm telling you, it starts the process when we choose to be kind. Our Father is kind, you be kind. Look with me in Proverbs 19, verse 22. You still here? That's good. It says, what is desired in a man is kindness. What is desired in a man is kindness. Now, this could also read, what is desired in a person is kindness. How many of you know we don't want just men to be kind? How many of you know we want the ladies to be kind? All right. This is in my Bible. It's not actually a verse. I wrote it in my Bible. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So what is desired in everybody is kindness. It's kindness. Now that word desired there in the Old Testament Hebrew is the word ta'ava. You don't have to remember that. But it has multiple meanings, and they're real close. All the meanings are real close. It has some nuance to it. All of those apply here. I'm going to give you three of those. So you can see. So what is desired in a person is kindness. What is desired in a person is kindness. So the first one is this. Kindness is what is desired, desirable, and attractive about a person. Okay? So it's the charm. It's what you like about somebody, that they're kind. Kindness is what is desired, desirable, attractive about a person. How many of you have ever seen a beautiful woman with just kind of a goofy looking guy? Come on, y'all, I'm exhibit A, all right? Okay. Well, what's the connection? Kindness. Kindness. And kindness is desirable, but watch that. That's what we like. That's what is attractive about them. You know, there's some people, they can be, quote, so attractive in every way, and then you meet them. You're like, oh, wow, you know? Or you can hear about a restaurant or a resort. Oh, man, we want to go there. Oh, this is beautiful. This is awesome. And then you have to have some customer service that's way less than customer service. And maybe it's rude or not caring for you at all. You know what? Turns off the whole deal. But what is attractive, what is desirable in a person is kindness. Rabbi Abraham Heschel said this, "When I was young, I admired clever people. Now that I'm old, I admire kind people." The second nuance to this is kindness is what you desire from a person. It's not only what you want, what's attractive or desirable about a person, but it's also what you hope to receive from a person. And how many of you know when you receive kindness from somebody, that feels good? When somebody's kind to you, you feel something happening between you when someone is kind to you. All my life I've watched when people are kind to my kids, I like you. You mean to my kids? You know, and kindness, I'm telling you, there is something spiritually electric and chemical about kindness. And it impacts us in one way or another. So kindness is what you desire from a person. Can I tell you something? That's what people want from you. They want you to be kind. And if they like you, that's a big part of what they like about you is the kindness. And what they're hoping to receive from you and you from them is kindness. The third nuance is this. Kindness is a person's desire or joy to show to others. It's what you want to be. It's what you want to be. Do you ever do something like when you're a little kid and your teacher or your mom would say, "Now, you don't want to be like that, do you?" You know, and I want to tell you something. You don't want to be unkind. You don't want, well, sometimes you do. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, come on, admit it with me today. Sometimes the heat of the moment, I know I shouldn't say this. And we let it rip. And then what do we feel later? We feel regret. I shouldn't have said that. We don't want to be that way. So it's also saying kindness is what is desired in a person. It's like, I want to be kind. There's something built in you, and especially as children of God, there's something in you that you want to be kind. And I want to remind you again that where there is kindness, everybody ends up better. Everybody does. Now, don't forget, we don't deserve God's kindness. This is not something that we earned. We don't deserve his kindness, none of us. As a matter of fact, by definition, God's kindness manifests in mercy, grace, forgiveness, favor, patience, salvation, all of that. By definition, all of those things are undeserved. They're unearned. It's God's kindness. We don't deserve God's kindness. We didn't earn his kindness. I remember when I was a kid, my stepdaddy worked construction. Some of y'all, this will blow your minds because of technology today. But I remember a lot of Friday afternoons, he would come home and he would shower up and then we were going to maybe go out to eat, which was a rare, rare thing that we did when I was growing up. And we would stop, first of all, by the office for the company that he worked for to pick up his check. It's like the Stone Age, right? We would pick up his check. And I remember he'd go in there and he'd come out with this envelope and he had his check. And you know what first thing he'd do with his check? Give it to my mom. We know how this works. But he didn't go in there and beg for that. He went in there, he had earned it. He'd worked very hard and he earned that. You didn't earn God's goodness. You didn't earn God's mercy. And we need to stay aware of that because then when it comes to us, what does it produce in us? Gratitude and humility. And that's what makes us healthy and keeps us pure in that way. Now, kindness relieves us. It refreshes us. And sometimes kindness catches us off guard. You know, especially when somebody, if they're never going to be kind to me or they don't even know that I exist and then they're kind to you, it catches you off guard. Because especially when we're aware of this, we don't deserve kindness and we deserve no mercy. Look at the screams. Karate Kid, 1984.
Mercy is for the weak. We do not train to be merciful here. A man face you, he is enemy. Enemy deserve no mercy.
Yeah. We deserve no mercy. It sure feels good when we get it, right? We don't deserve kindness. Sure feels good when we get it. When I was in sixth grade, my stepdad, and he was kind of new to our family, and a big guy, worked construction, like I said. He played football in high school and college and played for Air Force. He was just a big guy. He had like legs for arms, you know, kind of guy. Very imposing kind of person, personality-wise too. And I was getting in some trouble, acting out. Family was not good at that point. I was getting in some trouble at school in the neighborhood and so forth. I know you can't believe that about me, but it's true. And I got into a fight at my bus stop, and my sister went running home, tell my mom, and my mom comes up there, and anyway, I'm in bad trouble. So she said, go to your room, and you stay there, and when your stepdad gets home, you're going to get it. So I went into my room, and I started digging out through the floor. So, I just knew I am done. I am dead. So I hear him pull up, and then him and my mom talk, and then him come over and open up the door to my room and just look in there. I'll be back in a little bit. Wait, and I wait, and I can hear family going on. I hear them eating dinner. After a while, he comes in, closes the door. I thought, oh. Finally, he comes back. He comes in, kind of slams the door. He said, you know what you deserve? Yes, sir. This was back in the day when they would spank you. Have you all heard of this? This is back in the day when you'd pick up your check, too. And if your dad or stepdad spanked you, it involved a belt. And you didn't gently pull that belt out. You undid it, and then you... How many of you know that noise? How many of you it caused sweat to go up your back just now? Okay. So he said, you know what you deserve, don't you? Yes, sir. All right. And then he leaned over, and he goes, we've got a problem. And I said, what? He said, your mom, well, first he said, I think you've punished yourself enough. But we've got a problem. I know your mom and your sister and your brother are hovering around outside. He said, so I need you to play along with me. I said, oh, yes, sir. And he said, when I tell you to, yell. Undid his belt for all to hear. Folded that thing over, and he hit my mattress. Ah! Ah! Gave me a hug. Said, now straighten up. I said, yes, sir. He said, now dry your eyes. And we walked out of there, and no one knew about that till now. I like kindness. I like mercy. And it's not only good to get it, it's good to give it. Amen. Amen. If you read the Bible, and I recommend it, just two places, Psalm 51, Psalm 103, he does not deal with us, get this, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins or what we deserve. He deals with us according to his loving kindness and tender mercy. I don't think you heard what I said. He doesn't deal with us according to all the bad we've done and what we deserve. He deals with us according to his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Our Father is kind to us, and he wants us to be kind to others. Come on, one more amen, could we? Amen. Now, our Father is kind, you be kind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And 13, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, which we don't deserve, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It said to clothe yourself. Some other translations say put on. Not put on like pretend or fake, but put on like get dressed. How many of you know you should get dressed before you go somewhere? Well, most of you. I'm glad you did today, okay? But even sometimes, how many of you know you should get dressed a little more before answering the door if the doorbell rang? Right? And the Word of God is saying, clothe yourself. Before you go anywhere, clothe yourself with kindness, with humility, with gentleness. Clothe yourself with that. Wear that with you. Let that be part of you as you travel throughout the day. 1 Corinthians 16:14, almost done. Let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. You have it. Everybody say, I have kindness. You have it in you, and it can grow. And what we need to do is release it. You have it. Now release it. Show kindness. Show kindness in your words. Show kindness in your tone. Show kindness in your actions. Show kindness in your approach to things. Show kindness in your presence as you're with others. We need to show kindness and spread it. And I told you earlier, kindness is contagious. How many of you know unkindness is too? Anger and angst and revenge and all those things are contagious, but they produce rot and they produce so many bad things, and it's all rooted in fear. But I'm telling you what, we are to spread kindness. Spread it everywhere. I know it's going to sound gross, but sneeze kindness on everybody. Do you remember COVID? Remember that? I remember being in line like at the post office or whatever. You got to stand. Could you move, spread out a little more, you know, everybody wearing their mask and everything. And if anybody there sneezed or coughed, you're like, ha, ha, ha. Or you look at somebody even since then, you know, you're anywhere, the grocery store, the post office, anywhere, and somebody does that, and we're still a little edgy about all that. Well, you know what? Forget it now. Spread kindness everywhere. Get close to folks. Breathe on them. I mean, spread it. And I'm telling you, something happens. It's like spiritual, chemical, electricity that has an impact all over everywhere you go. We've got to spread that kindness. And let me just help you out with it a little bit, okay? I'm going to say amen in just a little bit, and that's when it starts. Amen. So you got to be kind to all these people. On your way out, be kind. Be kind in the parking lot. I'm waiting. Okay. Be kind to our parkers. Amen. Be kind to law enforcement out there. Amen. If you go out to a restaurant or go to a store or something, be kind there. Amen. And not just the people you know, everybody. Because we're clothed with kindness. But then when you get home, you can be your grumpy old selfish self. No. Because I think you're a big fake. If you're kind everywhere else and you're not kind with the people closest to you, let's spread it. Let's spread it everywhere. Let me just end up with this. Our Father is kind. You be kind. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? I hope so.